This is Talk To Me, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore to hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Talk To Me. This is episode 172. Talk To Me is the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Make sure to head over to Metal Nexus for all of your news, reviews, interviews, and the archives of this very podcast. As always, I am Joshua Toomey, and this week we have two special guests. The always hilarious Craig Gass. You know him from Family Guy, King of Queens, Howard Stern Show. The guy is just is a mimicking vocal master. He can pretty much do anybody, and as you will find out in this episode, he does an incredible Tracy Morgan. Might be one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. And also on this episode, we have the great Tom Hazart. You know him from EMP Label Group, and I believe it's his third time on the show. Tom Hazart's always great on the podcast, so two great guests for you, Craig Gass, Tom Hazart. And you know those guests are brought to you by Scott Bowling. Yes, our good friend Scott Bowling down there with his show, Good Company with Bowling. Check it out on YouTube. Make sure to go into the archives, check out his interviews with Head from Korn, Elias from Nonpoint, the guys in Seven Dust, the guys in Stuck Mojo, Eddie Trunk, future episodes with Jose Mangan. Hopefully I will eventually get myself down there too, to Atlanta, Georgia, to hang out with our good friend Scott Bowling. Yes, Scott Bowling with Good Company with Bowling. Check it out on YouTube or scottgoodcompany.com. And let him know that the Talk To Me podcast sent you. And like I said, these two interviews were recorded at the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo. Yes, the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo was just over this last weekend. I've got a couple of more episodes to get out to you guys. I did want to put out a longer episode for my Thursday episode, my normal episode, but I've got a couple of, I've got like three more short episodes to put out. Hopefully you guys checked out yesterday's podcast with Erie Vaughn of Danzig talking about the first Danzig album. Touring the first Danzig album, and then when Mother exploded a couple of years later, how that went for him, and all that stuff, man. Erie Vaughn was a cool guy, very nice guy in person, and hopefully you guys checked out the interview and enjoyed it. So I believe for the first time in the history of the Talk To Me podcast, I'm about to play some Whitesnake, and then go into my interview with Craig Gass, play a little bit of Megadeth, talk to Tom Hazart, and then check out their new band, Co-op, out on the EMP Label Group. So let's do all that, and then I will talk to you guys after all the interviews.
Shaking and I can't take no more.
Here at the Rock and Pod Expo 2018 with hilarious comedian Craig Gass. How you doing, Craig?
What is happening, mister?
Not too much, man. I just went to the bathroom, and in the bathroom was Craig Gass, Ron Keel, the drummer from Tesla, and like random other dudes. It was the most bizarre scene I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, and I was hugging the drummer of Tesla in the men's room, saying, dude, it's good to see your face. Is that weird to say in the men's room? And I heard people yelling out of the stalls, yes, it's weird.
Very weird.
Like, all right. But I love Tesla. Tesla's one of my favorite rock bands of all time, and everyone in that band has always been so nice to me. And I have gone to... God, man, I have shown up at so many Tesla shows that I owe that band a brand new car. Like, I've bothered them so much.
A brand new Tesla.
A brand new Tesla. Thank you, dude. And so for them to continue to be nice to me is really... although every once in a while, when I end up on a TV show, one of those guys will contact me and say, dude, I saw you on King of Queens, man, or yeah. I saw you on whatever, Sex and the City, Family Guy, you know, congrats. And I'm like, oh, thank God. I can. My first thought, as shallow as it sounds, is I can keep going to Tesla shows now.
Right.
Like I'm not going to be like, oh, this asshole's here again.
Right.
Like, oh, man, the asshole was on TV last week. Like, oh, thank God I can show up again. And that's how I kind of equate everything in my life is how many shows I can get into.
Right. No, I mean, I'm the worst about it. I have a friend of mine who will buy every VIP meet and greet, know, signing, whatever, $100, $200.
Yep.
And me, I'm like, who do I know that knows someone in that band where I can get in for free? It's like a game. It's almost like, and I don't remember the last show I paid for.
Trying to finagle it. Yeah, as a kid, man, I was always trying to, like, sneak in and try to see if I can meet somebody as a kid.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I will not bring up the fact that I've met a lot of these people
right.
as a kid because I was so awkward as a kid, or I had such an awkward moment. Although there was one moment that I had when I was 16. I found out that Whitesnake was staying at this hotel.
Nice.
I went to the hotel to try to see if I could meet Whitesnake. And I'm walking all around the hotel. I go out by the pool. Rudy Sarzo is at the pool. I walk out and say, hey, Rudy, I'm sorry to bother you. I just want to ask you a question. He goes, no, that's fine. Go ahead. And I end up asking him questions. No bullshit. This is not an exaggeration. For hours.
Oh, I bet.
We talked for hours. And he said at one point, hey, do you have a car? And I lied and said, yeah. Well, where do you need to go? And he said, well, I don't need to go anywhere today, but tomorrow, before our concert, I want to go shopping. I want to go, I need to, because the tour is about to end, and I need to get some bed sheets. And, and there's a place in Tucson I want to go to, and I was like, I'll take you. What time do you want to go?
Right.
And he said, oh, just come over and pick me up at like 2 o'clock, and then I'll just ride with you to the arena. And I said, the great Earl Skakel has just walked by. And I said, all right, cool. I go to school the next day, and this was a regular occurrence for me in high school. I said, who wants to drive Whitesnake and take him shopping? And a buddy of mine, Brian Howard, said, I'll drive. And so I went and picked up Rudy, and all I wanted to do was take him to the mall where we all my friends hung out. But Rudy said, I don't want to go to the mall. I want to go to – because if we go to the mall, we're going to have a problem.
Right.
This is the peak of Whitesnake.
What year was this again?
What year?
Year.
This is, God, mid to late 80s.
Okay.
Still the night is huge.
Yeah.
It's all – like all their Is This Love?
Yeah.
I mean, they were just –
it's like White Nate, 87 roughly.
87, yeah. 88. They're headlining the arena, and it's sold out. And so he doesn't want to go to the mall. I ended up taking him shopping somewhere else. They didn't have what he wanted, so we got to go to the mall, and I got to walk around the mall with Rudy Sarzo. And fast forward 25 years, I am backstage at a concert at the Forum in Los Angeles. I'm on the Howard Stern show now. Rudy Sarzo comes up to me and says, I'm sorry to bother you.
Can I ask
my
you
name's Rudy, and I'm a musician.
Yeah.
And my wife and I are the biggest Howard Stern fans on the planet. And we just wanted to say hello and tell you that we love your stuff.
Wow.
And I said, Rudy, you are not going to believe this, dude. But do you remember 25 years ago being in Tucson, Arizona with a kid who took you shopping for bed? And he said, bed sheets? And I go, bed sheets. And he goes, that was you? And I go, that was me. And he goes, oh, my God, how amazing is this moment?
That's such a crazy
and
story.
And he's been nice to me ever since. And I still feel nervous when I'm around that guy. I get fucking anxious as shit when I'm around him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those guys that, you know, doing this show for 3 years, I've got to meet and talk to a lot of my heroes. But it's those artists that may not have been like the biggest artists to everybody, but yep. they were like, when I was 12 and 13, they were my world.
Of course.
And so like when I interview those guys, I'm like, you know, like shaking and don't want to say the wrong thing, but you know, I can have, you know, a Phil Anselmo on and I feel comfortable talking to him, but you get me like in some of the death metal dudes that I listened to as a real little kid, I'm like, Mr. Jeff Walker of Carcass, you know, it's crazy how those years will still affect you later on.
Absolutely.
In life.
And I still will get nervous around people that are not, they're not selling as much as they did when I was a kid, but I feel nervous around
right.
them. Cause I'm like, holy shit, this is like, I perform stand up in venues now that a lot of my favorite bands perform
yeah.
at, where I'm told by the building, hey, you sold more tickets than so-and-so, and I'm a fan of that band,
right.
but I'm not as cool as those. I know I'm not as cool as those guys, so it's like, it trips me out, man, and I book all my shows around the country, around concerts and sporting events, so I try to get to as many shows as possible. In fact, tonight, I'm taking my friends. There's a bunch of guys with Def Leppard and Journey mm-hmm. that are in town tonight who are big supporters of mine. So I'm taking my friends back to the show. So many familiar faces. This is so crazy. We're broadcasting right now. We're doing an interview right now. And it's crazy to me how often that you get a connection to somebody where
yeah.
you go, holy shit, like, I can't believe I'm actually talking to this person that I love, you know?
Absolutely.
But
before we, earlier today, when you got here, I was actually texting with a good friend of mine, and I'll drop a name on you, but I grew up with Chris Kale, Five Finger Death Punch, and so I texted him and said, hey, I'm hanging out with your boy.
Literally, he just texted me today. I'm texting back and forth with him today. Oh my God, that is so crazy. In fact, I didn't see his last one. That is crazy. That is so funny. Yeah,
and,
I just texted.
And I see you guys are going back and forth on Twitter, especially during the Stanley Cup final.
We went to we hung out at hockey games.
Yeah, great guy, man. And you know, just like, you know, you're a huge sports fan. I love watching your fandom from afar. And you know, obviously, you're a Jets fan, correct?
I am a giant Seahawks fan.
Well, I mean, Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I do like the Jets. Well, I like Canadians.
Right.
I like Canadians. Canadians are just the best people on the planet.
Okay.
So, for me, anytime there's... first of all, I want to perform in Canada exclusively in the months of April and May
okay.
so I can be around Canadians during the hockey playoffs because Canadians are awesome.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the hockey playoffs, I don't care who the team is as long as they're Canadian. That's
right.
who I'm rooting for. I want a Canadian team to win it because, again... Canadian people are just better people.
Right.
They're just
yeah.
the nicest.
You know,
by the way, I got to point out, every time I say that regularly on social media, and every time I say, hey, man, if you don't have a team in this, you know, root for a Canadian team because
right.
Canadians are just better people, at least one Canadian will always respond and go, I appreciate that. It's like, of course you do because you're Canadian. Like,
sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry to say. No, it was actually funny. Last year in the playoffs, you know, you're here in Nashville. I'm a big Predators fan.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously the Jets and Predators are going back and forth.
Yep.
And you're not only fighting a certain team, you're basically playing against an entire country.
Yes.
Because the entire country pulls together for the last remaining Canadian team.
In fact, every time I do radio anywhere in Canada, even if I'm on the West Coast, They cover the Toronto Blue Jays like they are a local team.
Right.
Because the Toronto Blue Jays are Canada's team.
Yeah.
So I get it.
And the same with, I'm assuming, the Timberwolves or where am I on the basketball?
Yeah, the Timberwolves are basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm always like, I just love Canadians. They're just the nicest people I've ever met. And consistently, I go to Canada and like, there's so many subtle things about Canadians. Like, when they board a flight
yeah.
and they go, all right, we're going to begin boarding the flight to Los Angeles. We're going to start with zone one or group number one. Nobody gets up except the people have group number one.
All right.
And then they wait for group two. Everybody waits for the group. Nobody hogs and clogs that area trying to sneak past because they're afraid of getting fucked, you know, because Canadians are just nicer people.
Much nicer than all
yeah.
of us. You know, here in the South, though, we're not too bad.
Where are you guys based out of?
Well, I grew up here in Nashville. I live in Louisville now, so.
Oh, Louisville. So, okay. Yeah. Right on, man. I haven't been to Louisville in a long time, man. I did shows at...
they had an improv for a minute.
Yeah, but they have the... oh, God, it used to be the Comedy Caravan.
Yeah, okay,
right?
That's what I was about to say, yeah, the Caravan.
And they changed it to something else, right?
I believe it's something else. And there's a place in Lexington now doing a lot of comedy there, too.
Yeah, and I can't think of the name of that one, but...
Not off the top of my head either, but it seems like they seem to have a ton of people coming through now.
Yeah, dude, it's both those clubs, the one in Louisville and the one in Lexington, are legendary clubs that have had everybody and anybody.
Yeah.
And we're performing tomorrow night here in Nashville at Zany's, which is another legendary club, because... That club's actually been around for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's...
I've seen some amazing shows there. I saw at the Zany's where you're performing tomorrow, I saw Tracy Morgan, early 2000s, and it was the third show of a Saturday night, and he was absolutely blitzed. And none of his jokes kind of went together, like the punchline. I think he was like putting punchlines for like other jokes. And then finally when his special came out, you know, months later, we're like, oh, that's what he was talking about. he got so drunk, and we got there late, and we got sat, like, right up against the rail. Like, we were, like, Tracy's, like, right there. And there's a couple that seemed to be on a first date. And he was like, you like it in the butt? And she's like, she started looking at him, and she's like, well, if he don't do it, he will, point at me and my friend. And they're like, well, I guess the two-drink minimum doesn't apply to Tracy. And they got up and left.
Entertainment business story that I have.
Yeah.
I love entertainment business stories, but my favorite entertainment business story of all time is a Tracy Morgan story.
All right.
I was doing a show in New York at Caroline's in 2001. I'm opening for Dave Chappelle, and Dave is rolling out clips of his new TV show called The Chappelle Show. This is like a few months before Dave Chappelle became the biggest name in comedy. And... an agent walked up to me, and he's nervous, and he goes, did you hear about that party last night? And I go, did I hear about what? And he goes, you hear about the fucking party? And I go, what party? And he goes, Tracy Morgan had a party that turned into a fucking orgy. And I go, what? And he goes, turned into a fucking orgy. We're standing around with our fucking suits on, and there's naked people. Fucking. But the way he, like, described it was, like, two fingers
two dudes
poking at each other. I go, fucking like this? And he goes, no, fucking like this, like this. But then Tracy Morgan comes around the corner, takes off all his clothes, and starts fucking him. And I go, what? When was this? And he goes, last Saturday night. Right at that moment, Tracy Morgan walks around the corner. I haven't seen Tracy in probably a year.
Yeah.
And I go, Tracy, I heard your party was fucked up, man. And Tracy started rolling over towards me, and he just started eyeballing me, and he just went,
it was crazy. It was crazy. You know what's crazy about it? When you get off on my floor, you don't even hear nothing. You don't hear nothing at all. Then you start walking towards my apartment, and you still don't hear nothing. Then you knock on my door, and you still don't hear nothing, right? But when I open the door, there's buttholes and toes everywhere. And I went, what? Buttholes and toes? And Tracy went, yeah, some of them toes were in the buttholes. And he walked out of the room, and I went, holy shit. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. Wow. And that's wow. Tracy Morgan for you. A genius. A fucking genius.
Yeah, he's absolutely amazing.
Well, thank you, brother.
Yeah, man. Craig, thanks so much for taking
that's
the time.
How you end, that's yeah. how you end your time with somebody. Some buttholes and toes.
Well, I appreciate you, man. What's the best way people can keep up with you?
Go to getgas.com. Getgas.com with two S's. You'll see the links to all my social media. And look at that social media. There's some weird shit out there. Anytime I'm in a weird situation with a celebrity, I always document it. Take a look and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, cool, man. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, bud.
Went to his fucking house. And that guy has a fucking Kiss museum in his fucking house. And he had a bag of like 100 Kiss cell phone covers. I said, dude, what the fuck is that? And Gene said, that's our new promotion from Kissmas. That's our new Kiss cell phone covers. And Sebastian went, can I have one of these? I wish I could, but if you go to kissonline.com. You got 100 of these. I know, but I can't.
Listen, if you go to Kiss Online.
Hey, everybody, this is David Ellison from Megadeth, and you're listening to the Talk to Me podcast.
Thank you.
All right, guys, sitting here, Rockin' Pod Expo 2018 with the great Tom Hazard. What's up, Tom?
I don't know about great, but I'm definitely Tom Hazard. Look at this. There's a Megadeth beer glass here. It's like a Bullets magazine. It's like you knew I was coming.
Well, actually, that's from my buddy that's that drives Megadeth, my buddy Jeremy Owsley. He brought me that the other day.
That's really cool. I don't even have one of these.
Yeah.
I have no Megadeth shit. You'd think? As involved.
No, you have some of the best Megadeth shit.
I do, but I have to. Okay, let me rephrase. I have to get it myself. I'll say this. Dave, finally, after years of busting his balls, we do Radio Combat now. And we recorded the first, like, four episodes. We just sat down in Phoenix one day and recorded up just a shit ton of content,
right.
You know, kind of pre-recorded it. And he walks in with a giant crate of records. And I'm like, and he's like, I found it in my garage. He didn't even know I had it. I've been asking for years. Do you have anything like that? He's like, no. And he comes with this huge crate of Megadeth records. It was like sealed copies of the original Peace Cells.
Wow.
So Far, So Good, So What, Rust in Peace, Shocker, the Holy Wars single, like just shit I've been looking for years. Finally, by the end of it, I broke him down and I made him, every one that he had more than one, he gave me one of. So I find, but after like you would think I would just be slagged the fuck out with Megadeth stuff. Not the case at all.
Not at all.
Like, I have a lot of shit, but I buy it or I acquire it or I get it on eBay. But no, my Megadeth collection is getting pretty out of fucking hand. That's awesome. But yeah, I have to buy it, most of it. I have to find it myself. I actually make David jealous with half of my Megadeth shit because he really doesn't have it either. You know, he's not really sentimental like that. He had some shit that he kept at his parents' house, like in Minnesota. But he never really kept anything, so he doesn't really have anything.
Where did the relationship with you and Dave come from?
Me and Dave, photo op. I think we talked about this on the show before, but basically 4 years ago-ish. I first met Dave when he was at PV, kind of in his years away from Megadeth. He was the artist relations guy at PV. And I managed Chimera and Skin Lab and some bands that were PV artists. Right, so we kind of became acquainted through that. And then fast forward to 4 or 5 years ago, I do some special features for Shout Factory and Scream Factory. And I was doing I did like People Under the Stairs and Army of Darkness and a couple other movies for them. And then I found out they were doing Shocker. I was like, you have to let me do something about the soundtrack. You have to. It's not negotiable. So they basically said, all right, you have 2 weeks and no money. I'm like, okay, done. So I interviewed I came down here to Nashville and interviewed Desmond Child. I had a buddy in Austin. I actually interviewed Jason McMaster from Dangerous Toys over the phone while somebody filmed it there. I had a crew in L.A. go shoot Bruce Kulick and Kane Roberts. And then I hooked up with David. And it's funny because I emailed Megadeth Management. They blew me off, didn't even respond. Finally, shot in the dark, I hit up David on Facebook and said, hey, I'm doing the Shocker thing. I would love to have Megadeth represented. Management blew me off. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. So I did it. And through that, we just started talking. He's like, what are you doing now? Are you still managing? He's like, I'm managing bands, I'm producing. I'm like, well, why don't I send you some bands to produce? So I brought him Horizon Chaos, who I was managing at the time. You know, 10 minutes into the session, he texts me and goes, dude, I fucking love this band. Let's do something with it.
Nice.
And originally we were going to like co-manage maybe, and then he hits me up and he goes, look, Megaforce has been talking about giving me an imprint, and I'm thinking about doing it. Maybe we should sign a Rising Cast to that. And he was going to start the label to put out the first Dollskin EP. So Dollskin, Rising Chaos became the first artist on EMP. And then a couple weeks later, I went to Knotfest in San Bernardino and met Green Death, hanging out with Corey Taylor, who were his friends from Des Moines. And they became the first three artists on EMP, and thus began the saga of Dave and Tom.
You brought up David working at PV, and PV, David, I think, was also Primer's contact at PV for a while.
I'm sure he was. Yeah, David made PV. When he left, PV went to shit. And I'm not saying it's a direct correlation, but it's a direct correlation, man. David, the stuff he did over there was really revolutionary. I mean, even still, me and David do so much product stuff. Like, we just developed a new signature pedal with KHDK, which is Kirk Hammett's company. We developed a process, a David Ellison signature bass processor with ISP that's coming out. And David's always been really, he just showed me his new signature basses that he developed with Jackson that are coming out next year. They're beautiful. You know, David's such an innovative, smart guy.
Yeah.
And just comes up with these. And at PV, it was the same thing. Like, he just has a mind for innovations and taking things to the next level and coming up with great ideas as far as playing and gear. And that's one of David's real, like, the things that blow me away about him. We just developed this really cool stuff, man.
You know, the one thing also about David that I think a lot of people overlook is his actual just playing. Like him as a bass player, just it's insane to watch him play bass, and he's just it's effortless. But it's some of the most intricate you've ever heard.
Like that's the thing. Like David, when he was out of Megadeth, he toured with Ronnie Montrose. You know what I mean? Like David, is at this point now as a player, he can jump up with anybody and just play classic rock tunes. He can play anything. He's such a phenomenal. I mean, look, growing up as a Megadeth fan, I mean, Dave was my guy, and I never overlooked his bass playing. I mean, to me, David Ellison's bass playing is the cornerstone and a big part of what made Megadeth Megadeth. I mean, honestly, absolutely. When he wasn't in Megadeth, I didn't give a shit about Megadeth. No disrespect, but I just had no interest. Hashtag no interest.
You didn't want a James Lomenzo fan?
Yeah, you know what?
I love David, me some White Lion, though.
I do. I love James. Look, and I love the White Lion guys, but David was my guy. You know what I mean? I say this all the time. People think, when I was 15 years old, Ellison was my fucking idol. I mean, he was. You know, we had a real similar trajectory. He was a kid from the Midwest. I was in Wisconsin. I saw he got in a car and drove to L.A. and made it. You know, that was my dream, and I did the same thing. I got on a Greyhound bus with $40 in my pocket, went to L.A. to work at Flip Records, and, you know, ended up working with Limp Bizkit and Cold and Stained and doing all the shit that I did. You know, and again, we have a real similar, and seeing that as a kid in the Midwest, like, that spoke to me. Like, he fucking, and he was only a couple years older than me, you know what I mean? So, I mean, again, it really was a big part of the inspiration, you know, before I ever knew David, but to do what I did, you know? So, and it's really a cool full circle thing, the way, you know, we work together now and the things, and look, and I'm, you know, I'm his manager now. I mean, I run all of his brands. Obviously, I have EMP. Combat and Ellison Coffee and, you know, Merch Live and all of our various brands and things we're involved with. And I mean, it's definitely become an empire.
It's definitely, an EMP empire.
The hashtag empire.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it. I think the last time that that you and I were in the same room together, I think it was a Primer 55 show in Green Bay. And like
100 years ago.
100
years
ago.
It wasn't even in Green Bay. It was like outside of Green Bay in like a bowling alley. And I was the promoter. Like nice. I did a Primer 55 show in like a bowling alley in the middle of nowhere in Appleton. It was actually in between Green Bay and Appleton. It was like in Kakana or somewhere.
You put us up in a lodge, though, that seemed like it was a nice lodge. It was one of the nicest hotels on that entire tour.
Well, there you go. I try and take care of my, and speaking of Primer, man, is really sad about Jason.
Yeah, we lost Jason.
Have you talked to Bobby at all?
Yeah, it kind of kicked kicked back our relationship. You know, we as soon as I started hearing rumblings that Jason was in bad health, I reached out to Bobby to find out what he knew, and he kind of told me what he knew, and since then, you know, we've been texting more and talking more, and in the early stages of putting together a Primer show. With some vocalists and doing that.
I don't know if you talked to him. Honestly, me and Bobby had some stupid falling out. I don't even remember. I put out some Primer 55 records.
Yep.
Actually, I put out The Big Fuck You, which is basically the demos from Introduction to
Band. Yeah, yeah.
But, dude, honestly, it's sad. I didn't even have a fucking copy of that anymore. It's sad. But I was super proud of that record and being able to put it. I love those guys, man. I love that band. I love Bobby. You know, I didn't even remember. We had some just dumb falling out of a label business bullshit. But again, I love that guy. I love that band. And, you know, it's always been a very near and dear to my heart thing, man. I mean, that was, you know, again, I love the 80s. And a lot of the stuff we do on EMP is, you know, Mark Slaughter and
Ron Keel
and Autograph and that classic rock component. But, you know, the 2000s was my era.
Mine too.
And Switched and Depth Law and, you know, all the bands I worked with and all the things I did. And again, I always had a fondness for, you know, especially that era, man. That first Primer record is just so great and so much fucking energy, you know.
Oh yeah, it was.
And Jason was a great, talented. Look, and I was happy that, you know, they eventually got it back together and did some more stuff together. But Jason was, you know, he was in bad shape then, and that was fucking almost a decade ago. You know what I mean? So
yeah, we were, Eric Rogers, the Stereo Muds here, and he was on our last tour I did with Primer. He was in a band that was opening for us. And I got sent a bunch of photos of that tour, and he would get up every night and do the big fuck you with us.
Oh, that's awesome.
And but even in those pictures, Jason was wearing almost like a bulletproof vest because he was already having liver issues. And
is that why you wore that? Is that what that was?
Yeah, he was saying because he was having so many issues on the inside. that if kids got on stage, you know, and like hit it wrong, it could have really messed them up.
That's so sad.
So we were looking at that. But I mean, the one thing that my takeaway from Jason's passing is the fact that we'll never get another Primer show or another Primer record, like an actual one,
you know, proper, yeah,
like, you know, Bobby and Jason, you know, really bass player, drummer doesn't matter, but as long as those two guys together.
And that's why, again, I was so honored to be able to put up that Big Fuck You release, because again, it really was the original band. It was kind of the return to that.
Yeah.
And no one else got to put that out. I got to put it out, and I was super fucking proud of that. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, look, they could reissue it, other people could do it, but I was the guy who put that record out, you know?
Absolutely.
But, you know, as always, I've always gotten to do really cool shit with my labels, and, you know, even that period, that THC period where we, you know, I helped bring back American Head Charge.
Right.
We did that Primer 55 stuff, and it's, I've always been in these cool spots where I've got, and now, you know, I brought Mark Slaughter back, I brought Ron Keel back, you know what I mean? It's really cool to be able to, you know, do these things that are real, kick Tracy, you know what I mean? To be able to do these things that are super cool and kind of do them again, you know?
What are you doing with Dean Guitars?
I love Dean. They give me guitars, and I tell everybody how much I love them, you know? But we have a great relationship with Dean, man. A lot of our artists, Ron, a lot of our other artists are Dean artists. Autograph, Ron. We're doing, you know, I'm sure you've seen, we're doing the PBX Expo in Tampa.
Yeah, yeah.
Dean's obviously a sponsor of that.
Yeah, I haven't been invited to that yet, but no, I mean, you'll see.
Come on out. Hang on. But yeah, no.
Don't dial me.
Yeah, but Dean's a sponsor. Jackson. Who else? Orange Amps just signed on to be. I mean, again, it's really, 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 really great, great stuff, man. And have you seen everything for it? I mean, we got me, David. It's basically like an industry seminar, you know. But it's me, Brian Headwell, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, which I was texting with him last night. He's super bummed he couldn't come. But yeah, Head, David, Troy from Mastodon, his brother Kyle from Hell Yeah, which is dope. Toby Wright is going to be there. He's here. Max Norman, who produced all the great Ozzy records and Countdown to Extinction. And Mike Klink, who produced Appetite for Destruction and Use Your Illusion 1 and 2.
That's all you have to say, yeah.
And Rust in Peace. Like,
right. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, really. We actually just signed this band, Archer Nation, who Mike did their new record, and it's fucking amazing. I mean, they're really a great. We literally just signed the deal this week, and I'm super, super excited about it. I mean, it's really, again, we don't sign new bands very often, but when we do, it's something that's great, and they're just phenomenal.
You know, what's cool about, like an event like this, what you guys are doing down in Florida, there's a Headbangers Con out in Oregon.
Which me and David are going to be at, too.
Yeah. You know, like, these things are popping up now. And
I got Jason McMaster going to that now. Ron's going.
Yeah. It's fun to see a lot of these things popping up. Yeah. And you know, the you know, KISS conventions and Star Wars conventions.
Look, it's funny. Like, I keep getting involved in these things. And for a couple of years, I actually did convention management and celebrity, you know, kind of wrangling for those things. And I'm still kind of involved with David doing it. So that's why it's cool when, like, Headbangers Con and things like this, I can come to it, or putting together PBX. It's just such a great celebration of our business and getting people together to talk and push everything forward. And, you know, it's exciting to be involved in those things and exciting to see those things happening. I think it's really important for the community of everything we're all trying to do, man. You know,
It's good to get everybody under one roof and, see each other, and things like that.
And nobody, you know, PBX, I think, is going to be a really, you know, to me, I remember going to Foundation's Forum.
Yes.
And it was the most amazing, you know, fuck South by Southwest, fuck, you know, CMJ was fun, South by Southwest used to be fun. But, you know, Foundations was real. Dude, the things I've seen at Foundations Forum would blow your fucking mind.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what I had in my head when I did. It's kind of like a mini NAMM show and Foundations Forum. And it's cool because we actually got Concrete to sponsor it. And Bob Chapardi from Concrete has been, honestly, one of my dearest mentors. Like, my entire career, my first real job in this business was from Bob Chapardi. My first, when we started Corporate Punishment, Bob Chapardi walked us into Navarre and got us our fucking distribution deal. You know, I mean, again, they gave me a $100,000 advance. We had two EPs, Chanel and Ricketts. And Bob Chapardi walked me, they gave us a $100,000 advance to start that label.
Wow.
And then, you know, a couple years later, Scooter Ward from Cold called me and said, hey, I want to start this label. And he was starting a Sonic Star thing. I went to Bob Chapardi, and he went and got us a deal with Universal. You know what I mean? So it's like Bob is always been so super supportive, and Concrete's always been so great. And again, so it's so cool to kind of bring them into the PBX thing, since again, it was totally inspired by, you know, Foundation Forum. And again, that's absolutely what we're going for, you know.
Well, cool, Tom. Well, let's finish off with what's the upcoming with EMP?
Ah, man. What's upcoming with EMP? The new Wrath record is coming out on Combat, which is fucking awesome. The new Green Death record is coming out on Combat. The Sword Live Hammersmith record is coming out on Combat. The new Ron Keelband record, Fight Like a Band, is coming out early next year. Mark Zavon from Kill Devil Hill, we're putting out his new solo record, which is fucking awesome. What was that? The new Sunflower Dead record's coming out in October. There's a lot, man. I mean, it's really exciting. There's a lot of really exciting. Again, the Archer Nation record, we just signed them. That's coming out early next year. You know, new stuff. You know, we're reissuing the... This isn't even announced yet. This is a Talk To Me exclusive.
Uh-oh.
We're reissuing I got the rights to reissue the first two Kick Tracy records.
Okay, cool.
Self-titled No Rules and Field Trip, which are two of my favorite records ever. So I got the rights to reissue those on vinyl next year. So that's awesome. And, of course, all the new stuff we have. Killer Dwarfs is out. Madam X. The new Mark Slaughter record. Well, it's not new. It's 2 years. Co-op is blowing up, man. Alice Cooper's son, Dash Cooper. So much exciting stuff, man. Really, really can't. Yeah. Bass Story, David's doing, man. But we'll do another longer interview sometime. I just got to come on the show again.
Yeah, absolutely. You know you're welcome anytime.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll be on every week. All right, brother. It was great talking to you. I got to go do all my other silly interviews now, too. So it's going to be fun.
All right, Tom. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
All right.
Finger tips.
once again, thank you to Craig Gass. Once again, thank you to Tom Hazar for coming on the podcast. Hopefully you guys had as much fun listening to that as I did recording it. Craig had me rolling, and Tom and I were just bouncing off each other stories-wise too, so that was a lot of fun. I'm enjoying doing these in-person interviews. You guys know that the show is very phoner-based, over the phone, over Skype interviews, and being in person, man, it's kind of fun. I'm kind of enjoying it. I have a Louder Than Life coming up soon, so hopefully get some good interviews there. And yeah, so a couple more episodes. We've got Toby Wright, we've got Ron Keel, and former Kid Rock guitarist Kenny Olson with special co-host on that episode, our good friend of the show, Jeremy Owsley. That was a lot of fun to have on to have Jeremy co-host an episode, because Jeremy's first gig ever really driving a tour bus was for Kid Rock. So they had so many stories to bounce off each other. So you guys are going to get a kick out of listening to that one. So those should be out over the next few days up until early next week. So for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and thank you guys for listening each and every week. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff, and I will talk to you soon.